These are actually alarm clocks, and I borrowed this one from my brother, so I'm really hoping it doesn't go off, because I don't really know how to turn it off if it does, so cross your fingers, hopefully one of you knows if it does. So these are a few different types of alarm clocks, and so when I do work these morning shifts, I have to set 10 alarms every 3 minutes, starting at like 3:30, so that I'll be able to wake up and get to work by 4:30. So, you know, if the first one goes off and I'm like, oh great, it's my alarm clock, yay, fun. And then the next one goes off and I'm like, okay, still my alarm clock, cool, but we're not getting out of bed yet. I used to have to set an alarm clock on the other side of my room, and I got to the point where I would get out of my bed, walk over there, turn it off, and then go back to bed and, you know, go back to sleep. So I had to start setting these every 3 minutes. So eventually you get to the point where you get so annoyed with your alarm clock that you either turn it off and get up, or you just continue to hit snooze and continue to be annoyed. I think it's kind of like that with God sometimes too. He'll constantly be reaching out to us and like putting these alarms in our life of like, hey, you need to do this, or hey, I want you to do this. And we're constantly like, no, God, it's okay. That's not me. You're thinking of someone else, not me. So an outside perspective of Christianity is that we're constantly on this high. We're constantly like going up, moving closer to God. But in reality, it's more like this. We're filled with these highs and lows. We're not expected to constantly be on a high with God. We're not expected to constantly be moving at this upward place. Like in the Bible, throughout Bible stories, we're constantly being told that there are people that struggle with their faith, and there are people that struggle with questions and doubts and all these different things, that it's normal, quote unquote normal. So I have a few different alarm clocks here to say that everyone's relationship with God is different. And I think that sometimes when we're hearing how one person relates to God, we kind of get wrapped up in, okay, well, I don't really relate to God in that way, so therefore that doesn't apply to me. When everyone's relationship is supposed to be different, it's not all supposed to look the same. So we have a few different alarm clocks here. I've got this one, which also happens to be a speaker as well. So if you like to wake up to music, that may be you. And maybe you hear God audibly. God talks to you. You hear his voice. Me, it's not like that. So that's this one. Then you have this one that I don't know how to work. So like I said, hope it doesn't go off. This one you may hear God, or you may communicate with God through your constant commute, like through your prayer. You may pray about stuff and it may be answered, and that may be how you feel like you communicate with God. Or you use this handy thing, a phone, because that's the easiest to work. That's what I use. And for me, I feel like I hear God through things that I pray about that end up getting answered. So it's not necessarily like I pray and it happens immediately. It's more of like an overtime thing where you pray about stuff and then you continue to see it like happen in your life. Or you pray about like, God, give me a sign, and then you see signs throughout your daily life. So that's kind of my experience. So we're going to go through Jonah 1 and 2. So it is a little long, so bear with me, but I will read it to you so you don't have to worry about trying to flip through it. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed to Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down, and he fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them. They asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that this is my fault, that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me." I said, "I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath bared me forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." There, you did it. You made it through. So with that story, I use that to say that, again, we're told that these people have doubts and run from God. Jonah being a big example, that's something I feel like that we all know. Oh yeah, Jonah got eaten by a fish. But I think we kind of forget about how that happened. It wasn't like God was just like, oh yeah, you know, throw him into the water and get eaten by a fish. It were all these things that kind of led up to that point. He hit snooze on God multiple times. He told him, hey, go to Nineveh. He said, nah. He said, okay, well then here's this wild storm, go to Nineveh. Nah. So he threw him into the sea. And at that point, that was when he realized, hey, God is sending something after me to take me to what I'm supposed to be. And I think that happens for us too. We all have those experiences where we run from God and where we feel distant from God. And maybe we feel like, oh, hey, God forgot about me. But he always sends a whale after us. So some of you guys know, I worked at a church last year for most of the year. I started in May, and then Seth and I interned at a church in South Carolina, which if you have any kids in youth or if you know the Dietz family, we were at Bethel, which is where they're at now. And so we had the privilege to work with those students for 3 months over the summer and kind of get to learn kind of how things are a little different at different churches and how different youth groups react differently to different ways of preaching. So that was something that really helped Seth and I think, I don't want to speak for him, but that really helped me grow in my faith and learn about different ways that you can reach people and different ways that people learn from God. So here's a few lovely pictures of some of the students that I had the opportunity to work with. There's the whole group here that we took that on our last day before we left to come back after summer. This was actually the week before Halloween. It wasn't Halloween, you know, we just dressed like that for fun. This was our Christmas party, and this was my last Wednesday with the youth in December before I came back. So once I got back, I really struggled with, okay, I just spent 8 months of my life in another state doing work that I felt was glorifying to God, and I came back and was like, now what? What do I do now? I was still struggling with the fact that most of my friends had gone off to college, and I felt kind of alone in Jacksonville. I still didn't know what I wanted to do with my life, major-wise. I was still struggling with all these different things that I was interested in, and I was like, I don't know how to pick one, God. How am I supposed to pick one thing to do for the rest of my life? That's such a commitment. I don't have commitment issues, but when you have to pick one thing to do for the rest of your life, it seems like a major decision, right? Probably why they call it a major. So since being back, I definitely struggled with that, and I was struggling with what I wanted to do, who were my community. And something that's really important to me in a church is community. I think that is super important because it's really important to know that you're not alone and really important to know that you have people that care about you and want to walk with you in your faith to help you grow. So that was something that was really important to me. And so when I came back, like I said, I was struggling with all these things. And then God sent my whale. In January, Seth and I decided that we were going to go up to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee to go on their youth group is called the Bums. So we were going to go with the Bums on their winter trip to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. And we were driving down a back road super late at night and flipped our car into a creek. And I guess most people would be like upset or, I mean, I'm not going to say I wasn't shaken up because I was definitely shaken up. But I guess most people would be like upset when something like that happens. But for me, there were just so many coincidences that led up to that moment that I was like, this is like, this isn't my fault, this isn't Seth's fault, like, that was God. And a few of those coincidences include, actually a few days before we left, my dad told me, hey, you should probably stop offering to always drive because you're not gonna have your car forever. Kind of ironic that this happened a few days later. Then we were also about an hour away, so we were close enough that they were able to come and pick us up and we could still go and enjoy the weekend with them. We were on a back road, and we were actually just talking about the fact of, like, wow, I'd hate to break down back here. There's no other cars on this road, and it's kind of really dark. And then there happened to be one other car on the road when we did crash, and the person that was a driver of that car was a first responder, so he knew what to do and was able to help us. We had just sent our location about an hour before to the students so they would know how close we were. So when we crashed and had no service, they still had our location from that time before to be able to send someone after us. And the cops were, I guess you could say, okay. They said, oh yeah, this kind of stuff happens all the time. Okay, that's something I want to hear after, you know, just crash. Oh yeah, this happens all the time, no big deal. But they said that it's very rare that people like crash into this river and like walk away fine. And we were both fine, no scratches, nothing on us. Obviously the car was a little totaled, but besides the point, we were both okay, and that was all that mattered. So that was kind of my wail with God sending that after me. I felt like God was reaching out and trying to put these things in my life when I got back from South Carolina. I was just like, okay, well, I don't want to do that. Or, I don't know, God, that's not really for me. So he sent this wail after me. And like I said, that was kind of like, when it happened, I was like, there's no way that this is like anything but God. And when I was growing up, I didn't really grow up going to church. I started coming here, like I said, about 3 years ago. My family was always Christian, but we weren't churchgoers. We wouldn't even go on like Christmas or Easter. That wasn't something that we did. And so it was kind of hard to start going to church when your family doesn't really go. They're really supportive now. They still don't come as much, but they're still really supportive. And they came on my graduation Sunday and everything like that. So that was really nice. But with that being said, like I said, I didn't grow up going to church. And so I kind of felt at times a little insecure about my faith, especially when I went to go and like be an intern for students. I felt really insecure about, well, they've been going to church longer than I have. They know more Bible stories than I do. What can I possibly teach them? They know more than I do. And so that was something that I had to learn, like, it's not about what you know and how long you've been going to church. It's about your relationship and where you are with God. So since being back, I found this scripture that I think is really important to kind of what I'm talking about. So I'm going to go ahead and read that to you now. It's from Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. And that's Psalm 139, 7 through 12. And I think that part of me really likes that because I love music and I like poetry and it rhymes and it sounds catchy. And I think that's kind of why I like it. But I also like it because it does say, no matter how far you go, no matter how, you can't hide from God and you're never too far lost. Like you're never too far gone. He can always bring you back to him. So since being back, I've gotten really involved in my CCW group, which is Campus to City Wesley. And these are a few pictures from that. And that's been something that's really good for me. It's been the first time that I've ever felt really involved in a college community. And it's been the first college group that I've gone to where I feel like the people in it are just so genuine inside and outside of a CCW experience. I feel like sometimes people get caught up in, okay, I'm going to church, so I need to put on this facade of being a good Christian. Whereas like people, nobody's perfect, but the people there like own their imperfections and kind of just portray who they are all the time. And that's just something that I think is really important. And they've also helped me grow in my relationship with God and helped me realize like, hey, Jacksonville's not that bad of a place. There's some cool people here. So that's something that I really enjoy. And I don't really have any pictures of it, but I have decided to start pursuing education. Everything that I'm interested in involves teaching in some way. If I want to be a pastor, which thank you, Will, for this experience, even though you're not here. If I want to be a pastor, it involves teaching about Jesus. If I want to be a teacher, it involves teaching about education. If I want to be a personal trainer, since I work at Orange Theory, it involves teaching about exercise. So there's like all these things that I helped, God helped me realize, like, hey, this is what you're passionate about. And even if it's not necessarily teaching in a school, you like teaching people. So that's kind of what I'm pursuing now. So what is your will? We talked about how a relationship with God isn't linear. It's filled with peaks and valleys, all these up and downs. We're not meant to have a linear relationship with God. It's okay to struggle. And whether you've had your whale experience in the past already, whether you're going through something right now or whether you're going to go through something in the future, it's okay. God will always send a whale after you. Like the scripture says, you're never too far gone from God. You can never flee from his presence. So with that, we'll pray. And then I think the band is going to close us out with a few more songs. So pray with me. Dear God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all the people that came out today, God. And just know that you are with us. We're never too far gone from you. We're never too far gone from your presence. We're never too far lost. It's okay for struggles. And I just pray that the congregation will know that it's okay to go through struggles and how important community is, God. I pray that you'll be with us as we go in through this next few weeks. And just know that as we're approaching Easter, just to remember how much you love us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.